were not, having good knowledge about the system.
Yes.
So we were looking for a person to help us.
Okay.
And we went to the door of late Allama Ja'fari,
mm-hmm.
and he accepted us with open arms, and he helped us in the judiciary problem, and we were able to fix and, solve the problem that we were facing with, but his help. So even non-Muslims had good connection
right.
with him.
Thank you very much. It was very kind of you, Sheikh Ziyanian, Sheikh Mahdavi. That's all we have time for today's discussion. We will continue our discussion with the life and works of the late Allama Muhammad Taqi Ja'fari in our upcoming session of the program. Thank you very much for this episode.
You're welcome.
You're most welcome.
Dear audience, thank you very much too for listening to us. This is the teacher, I'm Atta, the host of this program. For more information on this episode and the other episodes of this program, visit our website at parstoday.com/EnColorOfIslam page. Also, you can visit our YouTube channel and Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer,
and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Al-Musawi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program Bridge, where we look at the supplications of Al-Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam found in As-Sahifat al-Sajjadiyah. We got up to supplication number 8 and looking at verse 1. And we were looking at the word hirs or haris, which in English translates to greed. Now, we have a lot to talk about when it comes to greed. Imam Sajjad Salamullah alayhi, considering the fact that he was doing isti'adha and he was seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from number of things. So it is natural for the Imam Salamullah alayhi, or for anybody, when they want to seek refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they begin with that which is more dangerous, that which has more effect on us than other thing. So we begin from, we prioritize. So we put our priorities in sequence, that which is more dangerous, and then we make our way down. So the Imam Salamullah Ali, interestingly enough, he finds out among the akhlaq attributes, among the vices when it comes to moral sins, he chooses greed to be the first one, to be the most dangerous one, to be the one that we should seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else. So how do we define greed in a simple, easy term for us to understand? And simply, greed, it means it's a state where a person becomes so attached to something, and this attachment, it goes to extreme. For example, you have a person who loves wealth and loves money to an extreme where he neglects everything else and he just concentrates on it. That is what we call greed. And sometimes we say that this act itself, it either comes from a haram ways itself, from means which are haram. So if I want to seek money and wealth, sometimes I might go about gaining it from haram sources, from haram means, from forbidden means. If not, at least my greed, let's say I want to do halal, I want to collect and gather my wealth from halal means, from laudable sources. But that itself, it will become a barrier for me to do my other duties, to do the other things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to do. Now, let us take a break and inshallah we come back.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are still listening to IRIB English Radio, to the program Bridge. We're talking about hirs. So we said that hirs is when a person becomes so attached to something to a level of extremity that he forgets everything around him, that he forgets his even goal in life, or his aim in life, or what life is supposed to be. So this state that Imam Salamullah alayhi says, it is a disease, not only that it will push a person towards the wrong path, you know, towards hellfire, but in fact it will create other diseases. Because sometimes, you know, your body might suffer a disease and it stops there. Just that part of your body, that limb, feels the pain and it's okay. But some diseases, they take over the entire body. They would have consequences over the rest of the body. Same thing with the greed. So when the Imam Salamullah alayhi, he seeks refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to begin with, when it comes to hirs, he says it is going to affect everything in your life. It's going to affect all your ibadah. It's going to affect your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your relationship with even the people around you, and so on and so forth. So if you want to define greed, it's just that connection, that wanting something so bad to an extreme where we neglect everything else, where we put a barrier between us and everything else. If a person, for example, wants to become greedy, so he moves towards the material world and he will neglect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us take a short break and then we come back.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and we are still talking about hirs, greed, when we look at the supplication of Imam As-Sajjad Salamullahi Alayhi. Our aim in life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me and you to have this link and connection and want and need to be with Him, and to separate ourselves and to detach ourselves from the materialistic world. Now, when this changes, when I change that and I become more attached to the materialistic world and I forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then my afterlife will be affected. It will go accordingly as well. So from here, the Imam Salamullah alayhi, the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt Salamullah alayhim, they concentrate on this very much. And that's to the extent that in the hadith of Imam Sadiq Salamullah alayhi, which we mentioned before, he considered greed to be a root of kufr, a root of disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because shortly after a person falls into this greed state, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take no part in his life. And we can see how destructive this trait it is to have. Inshallah, we want to look at it from the point of the Quran, from the perspective of the Quran, from the perspective of the hadith. What are the causes of greed and how we can eliminate greed from our life? Is greed good? Is greed bad? Because sometimes you see in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many times He mentions greed and He talks about greed. And sometimes He talks about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and He uses the word greed. So is it used in a good context? Is it used in a bad context? And also we ask the question, what's wrong with me wanting to have more? Is this even haram to begin with? Is it forbidden? Or can I do it? So how do we differentiate? How do we draw the lines between wanting things for life, things that you need to survive on, and falling in the trap of greed? So there's like a very thin line between the two. And inshallah, in episodes to come, we will try to cover as much of these as we can, so you can have the full picture when it comes to greed and why greed is so dangerous that we need to seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from such a moral sin. Stay with us. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Al-Musawi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را
the light.
Most of us know the feeling of being moved by a work of art. A Kosovar artist tries to make us understand a form of political discourse through a mosaic of outgoing German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Alkent Pajogo has made a Merkel mosaic from seeds. The artist says he wished to thank the German leader for having been an example for all the women of the world. He says his work is also a tribute to the towering lady for the support she had given to his country, which declared its independence in 2008. Pajogo was doing his work on the same day Germans were voting in the general elections to choose a successor to Merkel. Alkan Pajogo holds two Guinness World Records for his giant mosaics made with seeds.
Technology plays an important role in our daily lives. This time, a French company has introduced a device to help the visually impaired to avoid obstacles. The smart electronic device detects obstacles and warns users with a beep. People with vision loss can install it on the top of their canes and receive information through headphones. The gadget helps people to dodge barriers on the ground and above that, for example, the open door of a truck.
If you hear the sound to the right, it means that the obstacle is on the right. If it is straight ahead, the obstacles are in front of you. So you change course according to what you hear. If you hear an obstacle to the left, you go to the right, and this way you can go around the obstacle.
The device costs around $2,300 and is now being used by hundreds of people in Belgium, France, Germany, Italy, and Switzerland.
Wally the Walrus has risen to fame with his extensive travels around Europe. Now the giant mammal has added Iceland to his list of trips. Wally has previously visited France, Spain and the UK. His last known location before Iceland was Ireland. Scientists were not sure at first if they had indeed seen Wally, but Seal Rescue Ireland recognized him from scars on his front flippers. The wandering walrus is 4 years old and weighs about a ton. He has covered a distance of around 5,000 kilometers in his recent trips. Wally is now on his way towards his home in the Arctic. A French zoo has had a very productive year, welcoming multiple new animals into its collection. Two pumas, two jaguars, nine Peruvian squirrel monkeys, and even rarer, macaque twins are new additions to Lemmingne Zoo this summer. The animals were bred as part of a program designed to maintain and promote the conservation of endangered species. Once they reach the breeding age, these animals will be transported to other zoos to help boost the population of their species.
Now, a museum in Russia's Kaliningrad has unveiled a special exhibition to the public. It would not be exactly wrong to call the artworks out of trash. All the works exhibited are made of rubbish. The exhibition is showcasing a wide array of objects, including sculptures, musical instruments, robots and costumes. The project was designed with the aim of raising awareness about recycling. People visiting the exhibition were delighted by the creative use of garbage. Only 7% of waste is recycled in Russia each year, while a vast amount of trash is stored in landfills.
An Egyptian artist is making incredibly tiny statues of famous historical figures and landmarks on pencil tips. 30-year-old Ibrahim Balal is based in the city of Rashid, south of Cairo. He has mastered the art of crafting miniature sculptures. Ibrahim mostly creates statues of Egyptian pharaohs, but Islamic, Greek, and Roman figures also feature in his portfolio. The artist received some criticism when he first ventured on his art, but he persevered and rose to prominence with his minuscule statues. Ibrahim's dream is to open a museum of miniature sculptures someday.
Fourteen lucky penguins have been returned to the seas off the Atlantic coast of Argentina after rehabilitating them from malnutrition and hypothermia. The Magellanic penguins waddled back happily into the chilly waters once they were released. They were distressed, malnourished, and dehydrated when they were found by conservationists in February. There are an estimated 2 to 3 million Magellanic penguins in the world. The cute birds are named after Portuguese explorer Ferdinand Magellan. They are mostly found around Argentina and Chile.
Another groundbreaking archaeological discovery in Peru is now catching attention. 800-year-old human remains south of the capital, Lima, highlight the ancient burial rituals in the South American country. The remains of 8 adults and children buried in a common tomb were found by a group of workers laying gas pipes at the site. They were buried with food, dishes, and musical instruments, including flutes. Archaeologists say that the 8 people lived in the ancient town of Chilca, some 60 kilometers from Lima. They say some of the bodies were buried with the shells on their heads and had bags with cocoa leaves inside them. They say the discovery will shed more light on the pre-Hispanic history of the region. Another 30 human remains had been discovered in Chilca in 2018.
A taxi company in Thailand has turned its vehicles into mini vegetable gardens to help its drivers who are out of work due to the coronavirus pandemic.
The point of this project is so that employees have something to do to reduce stress. To a certain extent, it has helped with reducing our stress, but it isn't really the answer to the situation right now. Even though the drivers and the staff are able to harvest the vegetables for food, it's just part of solving the problem. I think the government should also step in to help us too.
The taxi company is growing vegetables on the roofs and hoods of 300 disused taxis that are parked idly. Prolonged COVID-19 lockdowns have affected the drivers' income negatively so that they are unable to pay the lease of their vehicles. Therefore, working in these gardens has reduced their stress and provided the drivers and their families with food.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Farmers working on the border between Venezuela and Colombia have discovered a tusk that is believed to belong to an American mastodon from 16,000 years ago.
We went to the place and the fossil was there, and then we realized it was something very important. We rescued it because there was a risk of it being lost, and at this moment, it's in the Archaeological and Paleontological Museum of Agualinda.
The experts say the discovery would help them with complementing information about extinct animals and ancient settlements. They say the finding of the tusk in the site would increase its potential contribution to scientific researchers. The discovery of mega faunal fossils in South America has been common over the past decades. In 2019, more than 800 mammoth bones were discovered near Mexico. group of Cambodian students has designed a manned drone in an attempt to beat traffic. The drone has 8 propellers and a school chair for the pilot's seat. It can carry a human weighing up to 60 kilograms. The creative students say the drone is still in its early stages of development and testing. Equipped with 4 batteries, the human carrier drone can fly up to 4 meters and around 10 minutes above the ground.
Here we have big problems related to traffic jams, so we did some research about this before building the drone. We came up with this drone project as we had the idea that we wanted to solve some problems for our society by making a drone taxi, as well as investing drones for firefighters to help put out fires.
The prototype has cost around $20,000 to build. The designers say they need 2 more years to complete the project. The school has expressed hope that the drone could be used in everyday life.
Iran's capital, Tehran, has hosted an art show themed with Aspiration for Peace. Organized by the Economic Cooperation Organization, the event seeks to shed light on the beauty of a global peace through the language of art. Yusuf Jalali reports.
Each one of these delicate works of art are created by an artist from a different country, each trying a unique way to highlight the need for lasting peace in the world. Dubbed Aspiration for Peace, the art gallery is organized by Echo Cultural Institute with the aim of promoting global peace through the language of art.
By holding this event, we want to send a message of peace to all countries. We invited diplomats from all embassies here to gather and unite and celebrate a peaceful gathering. Also, the artworks showcased here are created by artists from various countries, and this represents how beautiful it is for nations to live peacefully.
Art helps connect different civilizations and nations. It helps us bridge the cultural gaps and find commonalities. This will establish mutual understanding and harmony among nations, and therefore conflicts can be avoided.
In some of the artworks, images immediately communicate with the audience, even if faces are veiled. These pictures try to narrate the story of Afghan women and an uncertain future that they're facing amid the Taliban's takeover of power in Afghanistan.
The events that are taking place in my country, Afghanistan, are so painful. It might take hours to tell you how hard it is for an Afghan girl to live in insecurity and uncertainty. But through the language of art, you can understand all these words without the need for translation.
The art show was held on the occasion of the International Day of Peace. Observed every year on September 21st, the occasion was introduced by the UN General Assembly as a chance to strengthen the ideals of peace through observing 24 hours of nonviolence and ceasefire.
A picture is worth 1,000 words, and indeed, no words can be as strong as the strokes of an artist in speaking the beauty of peace. And this is how the universal language of art transcends the political and cultural boundaries and touches the hearts of viewers, no matter what language they speak. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
French slackliner has wowed watching crowds in Paris by crossing from the Eiffel Tower to the other side of the River Seine. Nathan Poulenc walked across a rope suspended 17 meters above the ground. He finished the 600-meter course in half an hour. On one point, he sat and lay on the rope before arriving at his destination, the Chaillot Theatre. The 27-year-old daredevil practiced 4 years to perform this show. Poulenc said that he was staying focused during the walk, and that was very challenging.
When I was young, I had fear of heights, and I learned to contain it. During the performance, I really didn't feel it. I really didn't have that problem. I felt some stress over starting it, but no vertigo, no.
Poulenc said that it was an uneasy experience, but he was happy to share it with the public. The athlete started slacklining 10 years ago. In 2019, he performed a 510-meter-long walk between 2 skyscrapers in Paris.
Visitors and keepers of a zoo in the Peruvian capital, Lima, are thrilled over the birth of 8 baby penguins from the vulnerable Humboldt species. Zookeepers say the chicks were hatched in July and they're expecting 6 more additions later in October. Currently, the newborns spend their days resting in their nests and being fed by their parents. The Huachipa Zoo currently has 42 Humboldt penguins and is working on recovering the species population.
We have 8 2-month-old chicks and 6 eggs. In 42 days, those eggs will hatch and the chicks will come out. The important thing about Humboldt penguins is that we are recovering their population because they are in a vulnerable state. We are increasing their populations with the breeding we are doing in the zoo.
Researchers say a maximum of less than 10,000 Humboldt penguins are left in the wild, with their population size undergoing extreme fluctuations. The species face emerging threats from agricultural activities to their own vulnerability to predators. The Humboldt penguins are only found along the Pacific coast of Chile and Peru and are enlisted as threatened species by the International Union for Conservation of Nature.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jalad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. This program, Islamic Laws, we are going to talk about the Islamic laws related to purity according to Ayatollah Sistani. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
The Grand Ayatollah Sistani comes from the family of scholars and pious men. He learned theological and rational sciences from many eminent and well-known religious scholars. At the age of 5, His Eminence started learning the Holy Quran. He was then admitted in a religious center for reading, writing, and for learning basic mathematics and geography. In the beginning of 1360 Hijri, he started studying basic Hausa lessons. He also studied a number of books on philosophy like Sharh Manzuma Sabzawari and Sharh Ishraq. Meanwhile, he attended Kharij lectures by the late Mirza Mehdi Ashtiani and the late Mirza Hashim Qazvini. In the late 1368 Hijri, he migrated to Qum to accomplish his studies in Fiqh and Usul. His Eminence left Qum for Najaf al-Ashraf. On having arrived in Najaf, he began attending Qayatullah Khoi and Sheikh Hussain Hilli's lectures in jurisprudence and the fundamentals of jurisprudence. In 1380 Hijri, Ayatollah Sistani traveled back to his hometown, the holy city of Mashhad, expecting to stay and settle down there. In the same year, he was awarded a permit by Imam Al-Khoi and another by Sheikh Hilli, certifying that he had attained the level of ijtihad, that is, deduction of legal judgment in matters of religion.
Sheikh Javid, since we are talking about purity-related laws according to Ayatollah Sistani for a while now, let me ask this episode, someone's living with a Hindu roommate in the same house, all right?
Yeah.
And he does not know whether he should continue to live with him or he needs to stay away from him. What does he need to do according to His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Sistani?
Well, we do know that Hindus are ritually impure.
Yes.
And if we know for sure that, let's say, a Hindu roommate who lives with me or with us in the same room or in the same dormitory has touched certain things with a wet hand, then we cannot use that unless we wash it. For example, if he has cooked food with a wet hand, touching the food which is wet, or maybe his hand is wet, we cannot go against our knowledge. We cannot eat that food. And of course, the same is the case with Sikh or with Buddhists, with pagans who are ritually impure. Just as we discussed in one of the previous episodes, we have to be certain about something being impure. And if we are not certain, if we are, let's say, suspect that something might be actually impure, we cannot act on our suspicion, okay? Let's say if we just think that there is a 90% chance or a 95% probability that that Hindu person or that Hindu roommate might have touched the food or the plate or the dishes with a wet hand, we can still use those plates or eat that food.
Yes.
Because as long as we have not seen with our eyes, we cannot say that he has touched it or he has made it, that the dishes are impure.
Another question would be, Sheikh Javid, Christians believe in Trinity, we all know, right?
Yes.
And we also know that they also believe that Jesus is God's Son. Doesn't this idea or this conception that they have take them out of the fold of Abrahamic religion? Do we have to treat them as ritually pure when in fact they do not believe in one single God like us?
That's a very good question, and many people think we should consider them as impure because they are like pagans, you know, because they believe in Trinity. And Trinity has no place in Abrahamic religion.
Mm-hmm.
And the same is the case with people who believe in two gods. Let's say Jesus being God's Son, it has nothing to do with Abrahamic religion. No divine religion, no Abrahamic religion ever believes that in God...
Polytheist.
Yes. It's just like polytheism,
yes.
Okay? But, you know, the religious authorities have said that if someone is known to be a Christian, okay, and he claims to be a Christian, even if he believes in all this stuff, you know, he can be treated as a Christian, as the people of the book. And of course, the rules regarding the people of the book, who are known as Ahl Kitab, are clear.
Mm-hmm.
They should be treated as pure, and any kind of transactions, any kind of dealings with them, all kinds of dealings and transactions with them are halal. You can share with them the same food. He can eat the same food with you. And, of course, all people of the book, whether they are Christians, whether they are Jews, or even whether they are Zoroastrians, are considered to be ritually pure.
This is Ayatollah Sistani's idea, right?
Yes.
Opinion about, yes, okay. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back.
The office of Ayatollah Sistani is currently providing the following services. 1. Board of Istifta, replying to religious questions. 2. Helping the poor, needy, homeless, and those who have suffered losses by earthquakes and floods. 3. Sending books for people who want to understand and learn Islam. 4. Hajj delegation. 5. Sending preachers. Board of Istifta is a link between Ayatollah Sistani and people. It provides them with answers to questions pertaining to religious, ideological, social, and educational matters in accordance with the verdicts and rulings of Ayatollah Sistani. For more information, visit the website of Ayatollah Sistani at www.sistani.org. You can also ask your questions through the following email, english@sistani.org.
Back to the Islamic laws on IRIB English Radio. We are talking about purity-related laws, according to Ayatollah Sistani. Sheikh Javid, a woman wears clothes and uses towel before performing a ghusl hayz. Does she have to wash them to make them ritually pure?
Well, that's a good question. Many Muslims, let's say in India, in Pakistan, and in the Indian subcontinent, believe that, okay, when a woman gets her period, she cannot cook food, she cannot attend majalis, she cannot, let's say, touch things because she is impure. And when an impure woman touches things, she can the najasa will transfer. And this is a misconception. This is not true with a woman in her menses. Of course, a woman in her menses can do everything when it comes to cooking, when it comes to giving charity, and everything that any normal woman can do, she can also do. But she cannot enter a mosque, she cannot halt and pause in a mosque, she cannot recite those four verses of the Quran which contain obligatory sajda, unlike some other religious authorities who believe that a woman in her menses, a woman who is in her period, cannot recite the four chapters of the Quran. Ayatollah Sistani is of the view that no, she can recite the chapter, but she cannot recite those four verses which contain.
She has to do away with those verses.
She has to make sure that she does not offer those, recite those four verses. When it comes to the towel, of course, the towel is not najis. She can continue using it even after she performs ghusl, and whatever she has touched and whatever she has come in contact with, she can continue to use them and treat them as pure.
I see. Someone performs ghusl janaba, and after ghusl, he discharges a fluid which he suspects that it might be semen. How should he go about it?
Well, it depends on whether she has done istibra or not. Okay, istibra is a procedure in which one makes sure that there is no najis fluid like semen or urine is left in the urinary passage. Okay. And if a person performs ghusl and he has not done istibra of semen is done by urinating. Okay, there's no other way of doing istibra. Okay, so if a person has ejaculated and she goes out and he goes out and urinates, and then after urination he has done this, because there are two istibras. One istibra is for the semen, which is the urination, and then there's another istibra for the urine.
Yes.
And that istibra is also
recommendable.
It's recommended. It's not obligatory, because some people do not need to do istibra because they are certain that there will be no leakage after it. And therefore, if a person has not done istibra, then the fluid that comes out and the emission will be impure.
Uh-huh.
Impure. But if he has done ghusl and he has done istibra as well,
yes,
okay, the fluid that comes out after ghusl is treated as pure.
And he does not have to perform another ghusl.
Yeah, he has not to repeat the ghusl or redo the ghusl.
I see. And the other quick question that I would like to ask you, Sheikh Javid, is that if a place is, you know, najis, and the person wants to perform a prayer there, the impurity has spread everywhere. What should he do?
Well, what is important is to make sure that the place where a person does sajda is pure. Okay,
yes.
The place of sajda is pure, not the place where one stands. Okay, I think we discussed it in one of the previous episodes. So, the place where I do my sajda should be pure, and that's sufficient. And of course,
how can one purify that place?
Purification, okay. We assume that it's not possible because there's no time, or maybe the carpet is glued to the floor.
Yes.
It's not possible. So if it's not possible, the best thing to do is to use a prayer mat. Okay.
Yes. But what about the piece of land? Forget about the house or the indoor places. Like you have gone like out to a picnic and. It's a camp or a piece of land where you want to perform your prayer there. And you still see, like, the dirt there.
Okay, dirt
all right?
is there.
So, and there is no other places because, like, it's in the mountain, for example. It's mountainous and the steep doesn't allow you, like, to choose another place to pray.
Sure. Well, if there's no place where you can do your sajda, I think the best thing is to that is just to remove your shirt and put it on the put it on the. That's the thing you can do, because that's my understanding. Because you think in the desert, in the wilderness, okay, if you go out, I think there must be a place where you can find a clean place.
Yes.
To perform your sajda, and unless you're certain that it's najis, you cannot consider it as najis. If there is dirt, if there is essential impurity, you need to remove it. And you make sure that there is no najis substance left on the ground. And of course, then you can, if you still think that that the place is impure, you can do, you can just spread something on that place and do your
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, for your nice answers. That was the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
علم فقه از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
فقه or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked.
The holy prophet of Islam is the example.
Self purification is the most significant factor.
امامت یک اصل زنده است در تاریخ اسلام.
امامت is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by famous Iranian Shiite orator and lecturer, Hujjatul Islam Ali. Stay tuned.
آیت‌الله حسن‌زاده آملی خدا حفظشون بکنه ایشون میگفتش که استاد ما در تهران حمید هاشم آملی که از مراجع بود میگفت من یه موقعی میرم مشهد حاج
می الله پروتکت آیت الله حسن‌زاده آملی. He quotes his teacher in Tehran, the late Ayatollah Mirza Hashem Amali, saying, sometimes to get the answer of my prayers I go to the tomb of Hazrat Abdulazim Hassani in the city of Shahr-e-Ray in Thousand Tehran, and my prayers are answered over there. This is while my same prayers were not answered in the holy shrine of Imam Reza alayhi salam in the city of Mashhad. This sentence of the late Ayatollah Mirza Hashem Amali does not mean that Imam Reza is not able to hear our prayers or answer them. No, but it means that sometimes even the souls of the people lower in rank than the infallibles are able to answer our supplications and act as a link between us and Allah. As you might read in the Holy Quran, Prophet Solomon asked his companions to bring him the seat of Bilqais from Yemen in the fastest way possible. One of the companions by the name of Asif ibn Barkhia said, I can bring it before you wink, and did so.
وقتی یه شاگرد حضرت سلیمان توی چشم به هم زدن تخت بلقیس رو از یمن آورد فلسطین.
Now the question is, was Prophet Solomon himself able to do this? For sure he was able, but he let one of his companions do this so that others might understand the dignity and high rank of the Prophet of Allah. Thus, if a person of a lower rank can do miraculous actions, then the great men of Allah, including the prophets and imams, are capable of doing greater actions. Now, I ask you, dear listeners, to go and visit the tombs of the descendants of the infallible and ask them to ask Allah for the answer to your prayers. These descendants of the infallibles and the great saints of Allah are more compatible with us in terms of spirituality. This does not mean to forget visiting the tombs of the infallibles or masumin, but means not to be neglectful of the great men of Allah on the lower ranks and ask them to ask Allah answer our prayers. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Fi amanillah.
On September 17, 2021, the U.S. defense officials admitted that a drone strike in Kabul that had killed 10 civilians, including 7 children, was a mistake. The Defense Department said the strike was conducted after numerous miscalculations by commanders who wrongly believed an aid worker was carrying explosives in his car. Just 20 days before the statement, the same defense officials defended their decision as a righteous strike. The strike came after days of chaos in Kabul, as thousands of Afghans tried to flee through the airport. It was after the flee of American forces from Afghanistan and the end of the U.S.-led occupation in the impoverished country. The airstrike was the latest of thousands of strikes that the U.S. conducted in Afghanistan during its 2 decades of operation. Raids that sometimes killed civilians and usually were followed by initial or perpetual Pentagon denials. The truth is, the U.S. military was only forced to admit its failure in this strike because of the current global sensitivity towards Afghanistan. If the situation